This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين على آله وصحبته أجمعين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abundant praise. We send peace and blessings upon our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the family of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, and those who follow them until the end of time. Assalamu alaikum to everybody. Alhamdulillah, when Imam Jihad, I think it was like late one night, burning the midnight oil, asked me, are you interested in coming to Islah? I didn't even look at my calendar. I just said, I'm already there. For those of you who don't know, I became Muslim through the community of Imam Jamil, through Sheikh Abdurrahman Al-Basir, from Marcy Avenue, Brooklyn, who died just 2 years ago. May Allah accept him. When I was walking in a swap meet, not in Compton, but the swap meet in Oklahoma. And I was flamed up. And if you know what that means, you know what that means. Alhamdulillah, Allah has protected us from all the flames. And he grabbed me, and he had a big turban and a thobe and some rubber socks, you know? And this is like 1990. And he said to me, like, you know, in a certain type of lingo, how are you doing? I said, I'm good. And he says, do you know who Allah is? I said, yeah, Allah is God of Muhammad. He's like, no, Allah is the Lord of everything. And hence my journey. I would go there every weekend and sell mixtapes. And he would grab me and just sit with me for like 2 minutes, 3 minutes. He said, you know, dropping science. Dropping science. And then eventually got into some trouble. As my grandmother used to say, where you did it is where you get it. And immediately, as I sat in jail as a juvenile for a drive-by shooting, I said, I got to go to that guy, man. I got to go to that guy. That's the guy that has the answer to this situation. And crazy enough, the flame in Oklahoma City was Inglewood, Family Gangster, and Pomona Piru 456. Yeah, the tariqa moves. And I got out. I called my father. My father was old school. I called him. I said, I'm in jail. He said, so what? And then, you know, then you become like, daddy. You know? And he said to me, you need to learn a lesson. And I was actually in a tank with all 107 Hoover and Roland 60s. And I had on some red British Knights. And I was a white boy. Yeah. So I took the pillowcase and hid my shoes. And then they said, that white boy is a blood. And I was like, no, man, I like Garth Brooks, bruh. You know? And that next hour, they let me out because I was a juvenile. And I got out, and that was on a Thursday. I've never told this story. My wife doesn't like me to tell these stories. Well, some of it's for a certain type of family member. And that Saturday, I went to him. I said, man, I don't know what to call you. He said, call me Sheikh. I said, Sheikh. He said, Allah is working on you. And that was very important to hear, because sometimes we forget that Allah is working on us. And he said, you need to go see this other sheikh named Ahmed Ndiaye from St. Louis. And I said, you mean Missouri? You know, the Lou? He said, no, Senegal. And so then he took me to see Sheikh Ahmed. And then a year and a half later, I became Muslim. And he said something to me. He said, when I saw you 3 years before we ever talked, I saw the light of Islam in you. And I said, why did you wait? He said, you weren't ready. And I said, so what did you do? He said, I made dua for you. And when you came, I saw that Allah had answered my dua. Why do I tell a story that I've never told? And my wife is going to get mad at me. This is like the lost tapes of Nas. This is my lost tapes. Is those of us who understand the work of being with the people, and those of us who understand, especially those of us who embraced Islam or came out of the first resurrection, we don't see Islam as an abstraction. We don't view Islam as a relic in a museum. We see Islam as an opportunity for constant commitment and transformation. And the word in Arabic for that is islah. That's the word. And Ahmed Shawqi, the great Egyptian poet, he encapsulated this in one line, talking about Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu salam. He said, "Akhuka Isa da'a maytan faqama lahu." Jesus, he, by the will of Allah, brought the dead to life. وَأَنْتَ أَحْيَيْتَ أَجْيَالَ مِنْ رُمَمِ. But you, Muhammad, alayhi salam, you brought generations to life with iman. You brought people from death to life. You brought people from darkness to nur. From Khalid bin Walid to Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz. You brought people from kufr to iman. And that's the greatest form of thanks we can give, is to go into places that no one else will go and to remind people Allah is working in your life. One day I lived in New York City, she mentioned. I was walking in a park, and this guy came up to me, and he was selling fake weed. I don't know why he tried to sell it to me. I don't look like that type of person. I mean, I don't think so. Imam Khada Latif used to make fun of me. He said, why would you try to sell you drugs, man? I sat down with him, and he was older than me. And I said to him, you know, you're created for more than this. He said, what do you mean? I said, can you imagine if you were calling people to Allah? I mean, you can even sell them fake weed. And they come back and buy it again. That means that you have a gift. A prophetic gift of persuasion. And I said, imagine if you took this talent and did good with it for Allah. And he told me, you're the first person that talked to me like this since 1977. This is in 2020. I've been in situations where I've seen people come from the most difficult circumstances. Oklahoma, half of Oklahoma's on welfare. And seen the transformative power of Islam. If you want to see the miracle of Islam, go to Islah. If you want to see the miracle of Islam, go to Masjid Taqwa. If you want to see the miracle of Islam, go to Masjid Al-Islam in Atlanta, Georgia. And if you want to see the miracle of Islam, say La ilaha illallah. The fact that you can say that on Saturday night in Los Angeles, that instead of going to the Sunset Strip, you're on Sirat al-Mustaqim, is the greatest miracle of the truth of Islam. That in spite of ourselves, Allah has kept us from what we like. يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. But Allah has soldiers. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جَنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. And no one knows the soldiers of Allah but Allah. As I finish, I want to talk about the idea of hamd, praise. Because these young people, this evocative nasheed, reminding us that the Prophet used to say, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, wa na'udhu billahi min hali ahli an-nar. Kama rawahu Tirmidhi. Prophet used to say, we say Alhamdulillah for everything, and we seek refuge in Allah from being in the ahwal of the people of hell. There are four levels of living a life of hamd. That's why Abu Hamad al-Ghazali, he mentions in Manhaj al-Abidin, the last, second to the last quality of the faithful believer is to live a life of hamd. And Allah opens up his book with al-hamd. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And the people in Jannah, when they go in Jannah, the first thing they will say is what? Not, I made it. They're going to say, Alhamdulillah الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. Praise be to Allah who guided us to this. Without Allah, we would have never made it here. The first is hum through connection to worship. That no matter what's happening in the world around me, I don't make ihsan of the dunya. I'm not blinded by the dunya to the point I can't see Allah. I live in this world as though I see Allah, so I don't see the dunya. Doesn't mean I neglect it. But I'm not a slave of the dunya. I'm the slave of the Lord of the dunya. I'm emancipated through Allah that I don't have unhealthy attachments that keep me away from His obedience. So when it's time to drop, I drop. When it's time to turn away from haram, I turn away from haram. When it's time to be right, I'm right. When it's time to be just, I'm just on the ibadah of Allah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna shirk la dhulmun azim." The greatest oppression is shirk. The second is with the community. That I'm thankful for the ummah. I'm thankful for my Muslim family. Many of us, like myself, we have no Muslim family in our own family. I pleaded with my daddy on his deathbed. Come on, daddy, just say shahada. He said, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, come on, man, don't do that. Many of us have been there at our parents' deathbed. Please say shahada. And many of you were born with shahada, born with a silver crescent in your mouth. Daddy, please. Told me, son, I believe in Jesus.
So I believe in Jesus too.
I wouldn't stop. He told me, you're going to cause me to die soon. Give me a break. And I remember when my mother died. Wallahi, my mother died. No one knew. 20 seconds later, my phone rang. It was Dr. Sherman Jackson. I don't know how he knew. You know what he said to me? He didn't even say salam. He said, you okay? I said, nah, Sheikh. We call Dr. Jackson Sheikh. My mama just died. How did you know to call me? He said, I don't know, man. I felt I needed to touch base with you. That type of bond is that we need, especially as America works to divide us and pull us apart and rip us into different groups. And that group bombs don't know Salafi and Sufi. The Islamophobes look at us like one ummah and we try to fight them as a divided ummah, we'll never win.
Well,
So we have to appreciate each other. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. As the Prophet told us, be as one family. And a family helps each other. A family forgives each other. A family mends mistakes and celebrates successes and supports each other financially. The third quality, and I'll make it brief, is we stand for justice. To be Muslim is not to be selective in the justice that we serve. We are commanded, one of the few things that is not restricted by time is كونوا قوامين بالقسط. Constantly stand. Sheikh Qaradawi told me, قسط is more than عدل. He told me, قسط لا تترجم. The word قسط in English can't be translated. I said, why? It means justice. He said, no. It's above justice. It's a word unique to us. It's a prophetic word. That means we transcend even justice. I said, Sheikh, that's deep. He said, that's the Quran. Justice isn't a certain time of day. Justice isn't with a certain type of person. اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى. You can't be Sufi and not at protests. You can't be Sufi and upset with the public execution of our imam. You can't claim to be Salafi and you don't care about black folks being publicly murdered in this country, because your aqidah is not an abstraction. Your aqidah is a responsibility. And that responsibility, the Prophet will hold us by our necks. And that's why he said, as related by Malik, I will see some people, I think they're Muslims, come. And the angels say, nah, nope. You don't know what they changed after you left. That's not just aqidah and minhaj and where your pants is and how long your beard is. Did you establish a hadara, a civilization, a society that pushes for justice? Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. The last, and I'll keep it brief, is that hamd means to be strategic in what we support. America always watches black folks, excuse me, if this comes across wrong. But Elvis wasn't the first Elvis. Elvis was a biter. He was, as we say in the academy, a cultural appropriator. He was a cultural appropriator. Means he was a biter. You can explain what biter means to your Generation Z later. White America watches black folks and sees the incredible ingenuity and intelligence and brilliance of black folks, and then that does what? It becomes full-on vampire. Whiteness. Let me give whites a break. Whiteness. They call me a self-hating white man. Tim Weiss of the Muslim Ummah.
What?
So wouldn't it make sense then that the generators of culture, the generators of what will be popular, the generators of what moves America eventually, wouldn't it be wise to support those communities first? Wouldn't it be wise to put money into the inner city where the light of Islam can catch people before the evil of kufr snares them in? If that's where America is eventually influenced by large numbers, not only in the entertainment, that's how they try to make it seem, but there's more to this than just entertainment. Brilliant academics, genius writers, incredible thinkers, scientists, mathematicians. What did Malcolm say? Most of the hustlers I knew, if they learned math, they would be what? They would win the Nobel Peace Prize. Wouldn't it be smart then, instead of worrying about living in the suburbs in a gated community and having that Model Y, to support the Haq on Crenshaw and Inglewood, amongst 107 Hoover? No more rolling 60s, rolling Jannah.
Yeah.
That's strategic. That's smart. I'll tell a story. I have a very different type of history some of you may not know. When I was my Senegali sheikh, who I memorized the Quran with, he forced me to go practice as an imam in a small masjid. I was terrified. This masjid was in like the hood in Oklahoma City, which is not really a hood here, you know. It's a rodeo. But people at the rodeo are crazy.
I got a phone call from Brother Abu Bakr, who's from Lime Street. I knew him in high school. He said, Imam. I said, I'm not really Imam. I'm just here, man, training. He's like, no, they got your name, Imam. I said, okay, fine, you whatever. He said, can you meet me at Park Estates? Anyone who knows the name Park Estates, you know that is not the suburbs. Park Estates, public housing. Apartment 103. It was 12 o'clock in the morning. I knew that neighborhood because that neighborhood belonged to 107 Hoover. I said, look, I haven't been Muslim that long. You know, I show up, man. People may remember me. It could be weird. He's like, wear a thobe and a kufi. He said to me, because black folks love Muslims. Wallahi, he told me this. He said, nobody will mess with you. Wear a kufi and a thobe. I said, all right. Put on the biggest kufi I could find. You know, big flowing Sudani joint. Went to Park Estates. Walk in, and they're cooking crack. Yeah. Then I said, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falak, man. Bro, where you got me? He said, they want to take shahada. I said, what? He said, I've been making dawah, man. I might smoke primos, but I'm making dawah. He said, subhanAllah, only Islam can work like this. Then they said, is that him? The white boy? This is something else I'm not going to repeat here. Something you eat with your salads. I said, yeah, that's me. He said, all right, sit down. Where'd you go to school? I said, John Marshall. Oh, he's cool. He went to John Marshall. We good. John Marshall's that kind of school. Sat down, and they said to me, tell us about Allah. Tell us about Allah. Four of them. And four of them took shahada that night. And they went from selling crack to marrying a Moroccan sister. He's happy. Marrying in Park Estates, where I was talking about, having kids. My friend Lance that I went to high school became Muslim that night. He was there. And another brother, he passed on. May Allah accept him. But when you support something like Islah, you're not just supporting the abstraction of Islam. You are supporting the light of Islam. So I want to encourage all of you tonight to strategically think about the importance of the inner city as a generator of academic as well as popular culture and the influence that it has on broader America. And see that as a prophetic responsibility. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be muslihin. Because the word islah does not imply just being salih. That's sulh. I'm righteous in myself. But islah is the muslih. Not only is that person righteous, but they are pushing for righteousness, holding people accountable like our brother Dr. Butch, holding people accountable for injustice, accountable for evil. That's a prophetic position, and that needs support. May Allah bless all of you. May Allah increase this community. May Allah bless our Imam Jihad. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum.